When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Minnesota lost their quarterback, but what about their superstar wide receiver now? It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance at 888-729-3776. What should the Minnesota Vikings do now with Justin Jefferson? That will be the question we will pose to you in just moments at 888-SAY-ESPN. Joseph, though, first things first, we started the show with a very important
day betting alert.
And that day betting alert was the ACC tournament featuring North Carolina and Florida State. We were taking 11 points, with the Florida State Seminoles, and we are at halftime.
Day betting alert.
Where are we at halftime?
We're down 16, but it's called halftime. It's not the end of the game. And for all the rats looking to jump off the ship,
look across, at Eric Handman.
I got no problem shoving you off. No problem. You got an issue, Handman, with the bet right now? Shove you off the ship. Costello, get off. Just jump. Go ahead and swim for your
Go ahead, you cowards.
That being said, 20 minutes from now, we could be in really bad shape. We might be chasing with a little bit of action later. But good news is we got a banger at 2:30. So there's a game tipping at 2:30 we really like. I don't know when we're going to reveal it. We'll do it before 2:30. But there's one we really like that's going to be tipping off then.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, Joseph. As we know, the Minnesota Vikings have got a major decision to make when it comes to Justin Jefferson. And in normal circumstances, there really wouldn't be a decision to make. You would do what you had to do to re-sign who you would argue probably is the best receiver in the game. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase is in that discussion. Maybe one of or two others, but he's certainly somebody that you do not want to lose. However, you just lost your quarterback. So what does that then mean moving forward? Well, this was interesting the other day on NFL Live. Adam Schefter, NFL insider, ESPN's senior NFL insider, in fact, on Justin Jefferson and his future in Minnesota.
Well, it wasn't before the season when he turned down in excess of $30 million a year, okay?
Ooh-wee.
So he could have a choice about what to do, Dan. And if he doesn't want to sign a deal, then maybe he doesn't. And it becomes an organizational decision. And if you're the Minnesota Vikings, are you going to pay what it's going to take to make Justin Jefferson the highest paid wide receiver in football?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that right now? Or do you want to say, you know what? As much as we love the player, as great as he is, maybe we're better off starting from scratch here in terms of a quarterback. They're going to have to talk about these things.
Yeah, there's a lot
where
on
they're
the
going to come out. Right. I wouldn't want to part ways with Justin Jefferson.
Right.
But you can't just say, okay, we're re-signing him to a deal. We'll call it $35 million a year. And paying him that money when the organization is where it's at.
Right.
Does he want to do that? Do they want to do that? Both sides are going to have to figure this out. It's not a layup that it's getting done.
Joe, if I'm Minnesota right now, I am looking very hard at this. And I know that Mel thought that J.J. McCarthy trading up to get him at, let's just argue, 4 is rolling the dice. But if they believe they're finding their quarterback, you got to look long and hard at this and hit the reset button, I think.
If Minnesota decides that they're going to trade away Justin Jefferson to hit the reset button, fire the coaching staff, fire the front office as well. Full reset. No one gets to stay. You don't get to stay when you take one of the best players in the NFL and you trade him away. You don't get to stay for that. You have managed yourself into a situation where you're taking an elite premier talent and you're moving him for picks. If that's the situation you're in, you fire everybody and you reset. The whole point of this industry is to find elite players that you can put on your roster so you can win football games. Justin Jefferson in 4 years in the NFL has proven he's an elite player. He is someone that can help you win a championship. If you are going to move on from him, to hit the reset button, front office has to go, coaching staff has to go, and you start a true reset. You don't give away players like this. You don't trade away players like this, because here's how this works. And just to show you how stupid this mindset is, we're going to hit the reset button. Justin Jefferson's going to cost too much money. We're trading him for draft picks. Great. So now Jefferson's gone and you've got a bunch of draft picks. What's the first thing you're going to do? We got to draft a quarterback. You're going to go out and you're going to draft a quarterback. And then you know what you're going to do? We need to go find weapons for the new quarterback so that he has an opportunity to show us what he is. Because if you don't do that, you got the Justin Fields situation in Chicago where you spend years with a guy behind a bad O-line with no weapons and you can't properly evaluate him. You got Bryce Young in Carolina. No O-line, no good weapons. You can't properly evaluate him. You toil away for 2 to 3 years. Things don't really look good. You're not sure if the quarterback's your guy. And then you get stuck in purgatory, wasting all this time. And then you fire the front office and coaching staff anyway. It's just so boneheaded to take great players and move them away for picks so that you can then go draft a quarterback and then find yourself in a position where you need Justin Jefferson. The only reason Tua took the next step in his development is because they got him Tyreek Hill. The only reason Jalen Hurts took the next step in his development is because they got him A.J. Brown. Young quarterbacks need stud receivers so they can show you what they're capable of doing. Otherwise, you can't properly evaluate them. So if you want to trade Justin Jefferson, go do it. Just make sure you fire the whole front office and coaching staff while you're at it.
Counterpoint. They drafted Jordan Addison last year. They are in a position right now where if you sign Justin Jefferson, you're not going to get the best of him to help you truly win games for probably 2.5 years. If you're trying to draft a quarterback and you're sitting at 11 and then you're trading away all of your other assets to try to move up if you want to try to get that guy. I will counter with this. The Arizona Cardinals for a second, okay? The speculation is right now that Arizona will either trade away the pick because somebody will want to move up to get J.J. McCarthy, or they will select Marvin Harrison Jr. Fair?
That's what it sounds like, yes. They're sitting at 4. Everyone's linking him to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay. You have a chance, if you're believing Kyler Murray, to trade away that pick. Let's just, because you're not, I'm not even projecting a pick swap here. I'm saying I trade away the 4th pick and 2nd-round pick this year, or a 1st-round pick next year for Jefferson. I see the Vikings move up. They get the 4th pick. I'm the Cardinals. I made the moves I did last year. I have an additional 1st-round pick this year. And I get a dynamic receiver. Meanwhile, Minnesota gets a boatload in return to try to reload with that. I understand the idea of getting elite, elite players. I also understand that to maximize that elite player, I have to have somebody that is right now ready to throw him the ball and make him as valuable as can be to me.
All right, so what's Arizona giving up? I'll assess it from both directions. What's Arizona giving up to get Justin Jefferson?
Let's say Arizona is giving up the 4th pick. They are not swapping. In other words, they're not getting the 11th pick back. Okay? So Minnesota is trading Jefferson for the 4th pick. They're keeping the 11th pick. And let's just say,
Hold on. There's already so many words. What is Arizona giving Minnesota for Justin Jefferson?
Let's say 2 first-round picks, the 4th overall pick and a 1st-round pick next year.
That's a fantastic move for Arizona because one of those picks is a pick you'd use on a player anyway. So you're basically subbing out 4 for Justin Jefferson, and then it's one more pick down the line to bring this guy in to help you out. You're currently sitting in a situation where you're 7th in available salary cap space at $38 million. He addresses a huge need, and if you truly believe in Kyler Murray, there's your guy. So from the Arizona standpoint, I think that is a fantastic trade because it's really only costing you 1 first-round pick next year, which you already picked up a bonus one from last year's trade when you moved down with the Houston Texans. That side of the equation I love. Now the other side of the equation, if you're Minnesota, you're getting the 4th overall pick. What are you doing with that 4th pick?
You're taking a quarterback if you believe in if your evaluation of J.J. McCarthy is that he is a franchise quarterback. you're taking your quarterback for the future.
So J.J. McCarthy is coming in at pick four with no Justin Jefferson at wide receiver.
Correct.
Wow.
But you have Jordan Addison, and might I add, you still have the 11th pick. So if you still have the 11th pick, is there another wide receiver in an incredibly rich wide receiver draft that you are taking there to replace Justin Jefferson?
I don't know if Malik Nabers from LSU or Roma Dunze from Washington would fall to that point, but it's certainly possible. It is a deep class. It could be someone outside of those two that could come in. So now you've got McCarthy, you've got Addison, and you've got this other rookie wide receiver, and you've got Kevin O'Connell as your head coach. 2 years in, has done a, you know, reasonable job with the team, all things considered. Was in the playoffs 2 years ago. Didn't make a serious push late last year, mostly because Cousins got hurt. That's natural. It's to be expected. But he's going to have to produce results relatively quickly, because you get 4 years into this thing, giving him 2 years with McCarthy and these guys. You get 4 years in, you're not getting results. It's 4 years with Kevin O'Connell. You haven't done a whole lot. This is a show me what you've done lately sort of situation. So you better love J.J. McCarthy at pick number four if you're making that trade.
Agreed. This is not we're taking a shot because we feel like he could be it. No, we feel like he is it. That's how you're feeling. One last thing. You used the word purgatory in reference to Minnesota and not wanting to live there, right?
Correct.
Where the hell have they been for the last God knows how many years?
Well, they were in the playoffs 2 years ago, and they were in the NFC Championship game against Philadelphia. I mean, that was not 10 years ago, but what, 7 years ago?
It was 2017.
Seven, 6 years ago?
My, here's my point. The Vikings have not been a legitimate Super Bowl contender in quite some time. And they have a, you know, we talked about the 13-win game season 2 years ago, but we both know, and as it turned out to be, it was fool's gold. So I guess my point is simply, I got to make big moves if I'm trying to get out of purgatory, and sometimes it's something I'm going to be uncomfortable with.
You got a top three guy at wide receiver in a pass-happy league, and we're going to get rid of him.
I'm not going to tell you that it's not rolling the dice.
Yeah, no, that's a good organizational philosophy. Hey, guys, new plan, let's roll the dice. That should work out real well in the NFC.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. So we'll ask you this question. Should the Vikings keep Justin Jefferson and sign him to a long-term deal, or should they look at trading him before the draft? Carlin versus Joe. In moments, we've got NBA to Z with an opportunity to finally, finally bury one of the teams that people just will not let go of. Plus your calls at 888-729-3776. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. A huge night on the hardwood.
Up the floor, James hammers a right hand dunk.
Let's get caught up with Carlin versus Joe's NBA to Z.
That's right, baby. 20 going on in the association last night. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Let us get right into it, Joseph, and we will start with Los Nuggets.
Murray has it left side over to Porter for three. Ball game!
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr. burying the three. The Nuggets have lost one game since the All-Star break. They beat the Heat 100-88. That was on the Altitude Radio Network. And the Nuggets, Joe, have flipped the switch. They are now in sole possession of the top seed in the Western Conference.
This is what they call championship pacing. This is the hallmark of a legitimate championship contender. They win the strap last year. They take out the Miami Heat. You got to play deep into the summer to win a championship. You turn it around. You come out. You don't mail it in early in the season. You play good, solid basketball. You keep yourself within striking distance of the top seed, but you understand not to overdo it. You don't overdo it for the in-season tournament, which doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things right now. Not to knock it. I enjoyed it, but it's an entertainment product. And then as you worked your way to the All-Star game and came off it, your leader, Nikola Jokic, contacted everyone. I think Wendy said this morning, sent this text out to everyone on the team about how now's the time to turn it on. Now you've got to find that second gear to get ready for the playoff push. They are 11-1 since the break. They're winning by double digits on average. They go to Miami as a three-point favorite. They smoke the Heat in that game. This is what a championship contender does. They understand their pacing. Play your best basketball at the toughest time of year. That's what they're showing us right now.
Well, they are absolutely rolling at the moment. And look, I don't think that there was ever any reason to question whether or not they were going to get back. But it's nice to be able to be in that position where everybody expects you to begin a dynasty here. And you can just kind of sit back for the first half of the year. We'll get ready. Okay, now. And then you go 11-1 out of the break.
Exactly. Floyd Mayweather in the middle rounds was always so good. He used the first couple rounds to solve you. He'd win a bunch of rounds, and then he understood in rounds like 6, 7, 8, right in there, maybe one or two rounds, he'd, I don't want to say take off, but he'd throttle back to conserve his energy, make sure he's ready to go, let the other guy try to punch himself out, and then you get into those 9-plus rounds, and then eventually the championship rounds, and that's when you really put it on the guy. Denver's got their pacing down right now.
Off to Darius Garland. He'll unload a three. He hit nothing but the bottom of the net.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's on WTAM in Cleveland. The Cavaliers roll 116-88 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion had 33 in the game, but not the best of nights for the Pels, who, as Joe has pointed out many times, they have played exceptionally well, especially since the All-Star break as well.
Not a good look. People will say, well, it's only one game. You can't get down on them. This is not a good look. They were 13-4 over their last 17 games entering last night. I was making the case for them. I was very excited to see this team. But when you go inside those 17 games they had played, those 13 wins, Houston, San Antonio, Toronto, they did beat the Clippers. Then it was Portland, Memphis, Washington, Houston again. Then it was the Knicks who were banged up. Then the Pacers, the Raptors, the Sixers, the Hawks. They weren't really beating anyone. They were stacking wins, but last night they were rested. That was not the second half of a back-to-back. They had had two games off, two nights off, Monday and Tuesday, and it was a measuring stick game at home against a good Cavaliers team that beat them by 21. That's a little bit alarming to me. That's a game you should have gotten up for. You don't need to win it, but to get rolled in that game, a little bit alarming, Carlin.
Well, I'll give you a number that kind of caught me off guard. The Cavs had 20 threes last night. I mean, that's not something that usually happens with the Pels, who are a very good perimeter defense.
20 made three-pointers.
20 made threes.
Wow. Yeah, that is a big night at the office for the Cavs. We might want to be looking at a team total under or a fade of the Cavs their next game out.
Always thinking ahead.
Yeah. Kyrie, check the clock. Three to shoot on the drive. And with the left hand, hit it! Oh, Kyrie!
109-99, Mavericks over Golden State. 97-1, the Freak in Dallas. The real story late, though, Luka Doncic with a bit of a sore hamstring told Jason Kidd, I got to get out of here. Took him out of the game, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. That's a day-to-day situation. But the Mavericks getting a win that they needed in Golden State. No Steph Curry, yes. But at the same time, Joe, inconsistency bothering me with Golden State, who has now lost three out of their last four.
Yeah, this is the problem with being one of these teams that donks off too many games early in the season. You don't need to be great early, but you can't dig a huge hole and then have a good month, tell everyone, hey, don't count us out, we're turning it on now, and then, like, you know, something like this happens. Like, you're operating on very thin margins if you're Golden State. And now with Steph hurt, it's only going to get worse. For Dallas, I so want to buy into Luka and the Mavericks. I want to get excited about them because they play a very exciting style of basketball. But they're an 8 seed. Now, they're 38-28. They're 10 games over 500. But they're an 8 seed. And it's tough for me to say, yeah, I can't wait to see the Mavs in the playoffs when they have good game followed by awful game followed by good game followed by awful game. Just too inconsistent.
Totally agree.
He kicks to Fox, sidesteps the defender Reeves, launches, scores the three. That could be absolutely huge.
De'Aaron Fox, the three, KHTK Sacramento, as the Kings roll the Lakers 120-107. That was pretty much the final nail there for the Lakers in that game. And Joe, this is why I look at the Lakers and I just, 3 weeks ago, I'm ready to bury them. And there's no doubt in my mind that as we sit here on March 14th, it is over for the Lakers this season. I don't see any reason to believe in them. And this is just an astounding number given by Wendy earlier today. 10-0, DeMontis Sabonis is against Anthony Davis in his career. 10-0. Oh, my God.
Like, you'd think at some point that would get back to Davis and he would just personally do something about it. Yeah, like, no, I'm going to go win this game so I can shut that down because I'm tired of hearing that narrative. I mean, here's the reality of the Lakers. They're 36-31. They're a 9 seed. They got 15 games to go. If they're going to avoid the play-in, they're going to have to go balls to the wall for the last 15 games. So now you got to take two aging guys who have injury concerns, put them balls to the wall over the last 15 games just to hope you avoid the play-in. And if you do, great. But if you don't, you got to survive the play-in. Then after that, you're going to draw an opening round matchup with who? Denver, OKC, Minnesota.
Yeah,
maybe you find a way to survive, but you got to win 4 of 7 there. And then the next step is the conference semis. 4 of 7 there. Then you get to the conference finals. 4 of 7 there. And then the finals likely against a team like Boston. I don't know how anyone can believe that they are going to string that together over the next few months. It's just too much to ask with too little time to pull it off.
And then finally tonight, Phoenix and Boston, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, TD Garden in Boston. Will be very, very interested in watching this game. And, you know, listen, I've got them in Milwaukee on Sunday, so you know I'll be locked in on the Suns tonight.
Yeah.
But I'll be very interested to see what this looks like. And again, another one of those games, when you've got the guys on the other side of the court, Jason Tatum, don't you actually just need to show you're the guy?
This is going to be a fun one because I don't want to jinx it, but it looks like Booker, Beal, Durant should all play today.
They all played the other night.
But I know.
Because of that very reason, Joe, I can't even say any of that with confidence. It's why I didn't bring it up.
Right.
Because, ooh, you never know with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, we could have a really great matchup between these two teams tonight. Porzingis out for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown questionable. But we could get a really good matchup here if they all get on the court and just play for us because we want to see this game. But you never know. I kind of lean the Phoenix here. They're catching 6. That's a lot of points if all 3 of the studs are going to play for the Suns.
That is NBA 2Z on this Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Joseph, we do have a player-for-player trade in the NFL.
Breaking news.
Desmond Ridder, now an Arizona Cardinal.
Ah.
Traded for wide receiver Rondale Moore. But I will tell you this. I don't hate that for the Atlanta Falcons. Rondale Moore can fly, and he hasn't quite lived up to what he was supposed to be. But I think inside in that offense, that might be very, very interesting.
Well, yeah, that's value up. You have no place for Ridder at this point in time. So if you can get anything in return, especially a buy low on a wide receiver who could help, even though you've got receivers, a little bit of depth there, that's how you improve a roster. It's not always about improving the top 10 spots on the roster.
No.
A lot of times it's about improving spots 40 to 53.
Yep. And that's exactly what I think they just did. And that is, again, great speed to help with that offense that already has enough weapons. Boy, I tell you, Kyle Pitts could not give over the number 8 quick enough to Kirk Cousins. Could he? Just throw me the ball. We'll be fine. Don't have to give me anything, not even a case of beer. We're good to go. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are going to delve into next. Who's first couple of days of free agency have really provided value for their team in just moments. That's after Joe has this from Vivid Seats.
Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, every slap shot, and every stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm sorry, that's just wrong. You're going to steal an entire shipment of your bobbleheads on Jaromir Jagr bobblehead night?
How do you fence those? That's the thing. Yeah. Like, how are you, like, you're going to show up somewhere and it's going to be like, all right, I got something hot. It's like, all right, what is it? Is it a car? Is it a bunch of DVD players? I have no idea. What could it be? It's 12,000 Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. It's like,
yeah, those would be easy to unload.
They were stolen. Like, you can't touch a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead right now. They're too hot.
Exactly. Where in Pittsburgh are you going to be able to unload those and not set off any kind of an alarm?
Right.
I have a theory.
It was
a Flyers fan who stole them, and they're at the bottom of the ocean.
Now that I can get behind.
As a Philly guy.
Just a spite move.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Listen, and could we see somebody doing that in Philly? We could.
No, not Philly.
No, never. Carlin versus
maybe
Joe.
Perhaps an unhinged fan base, but not Philadelphia.
ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Let's welcome in Bill Barnwell, ESPN NFL writer, to provide some context to the last couple of days, as he always, always does. Great perspective from Bill. Bill, we appreciate it as always, and let's just start here. Very simply, which teams do you feel like improved the most over the first couple of days of free agency?
Sure. I mean, you start with, I think, the Houston Texans, where I love what they did on the defensive side of the ball. I know the big name is Joe Mixon, but they went out and they clearly have ambitions of competing with the best teams in the AFC in terms of what they got in their front seven. They went out and signed Danielle Hunter. They bring in DeMeco Autry, super underrated defensive interior defensive lineman. They have three really good pass rushers now alongside Will Anderson, the first-round pick from last year. They get Azeez Al-Shaair, get DeMeco Ryans back with a former Niners linebacker who was so effective last year, very rangy, a really difference maker for them. I think at a position that was really in flux for them last season. They're taking advantage of the C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, and Derek Stingley contracts being cheap right now. They have a lot of money that they're saving at those positions. They're putting it elsewhere. I don't know if they can beat the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens, but to me, I think they're making moves like they're going to be in that conversation. And then maybe go to the other conference. I have to say the Atlanta Falcons, right? I'm not, you know, it's not the most nuanced conversation. We're not talking about interior offensive linemen, but you replace replacement level quarterback play with Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk is not Patrick Mahomes, but he is a very solid quarterback. That team was good on defense last year. We know the playmakers they have are exciting if they can just get into the right opportunities. Feels like that is a complete team right now. I don't know if they have a Super Bowl ceiling, but they have to be the favorites in the NFC South, and they weren't the favorites in the NFC South before free agency began, so that feels like it has to be one of the biggest leads.
All right, so in order for Atlanta to take a step forward with Kirk Cousins, Minnesota clearly had to take a step back by losing Kirk Cousins. Now some are talking about the idea of what does Minnesota do with star wide receiver Justin Jefferson. He's going to command a hefty payday entering year five of that rookie deal, but Minnesota might not be ready to contend since Cousins is no longer on the roster. What do you think the Vikings should do?
You're saying this like you don't think Sam Darnold's going to be an upgrade on Kirk Cousins. Come on. No, I'm not here with Sam Darnold, unfortunately. been burned too many times there. I think you sign Justin Jefferson. To me, I think he is a transcendent player at a premium position. Remember, guys, wide receiver is right up there now with left tackle, with cornerback, with edge rusher, kind of in that second, third tier of the most important positions in football. You're not going to be able to find someone as good as Justin Jefferson to replace him. And he's still young. I mean, even if you do go through a year or two in flux, Justin Jefferson's still going to be in his prime by the time you get out of that flux. It's not like he's about to turn 30. So I think even if you are going to make a change of quarterback, even if you're going to retool, which it looks like the Vikings are, Justin Jefferson's going to make that guy in his life so much easier. And to me, I think it's a move where, unless you get blown away, unless someone does something crazy and offers you like 3 first-round picks, I think you keep Justin Jefferson, you sign him, and you try and make cutbacks elsewhere.
Bill Barnwell, ESPN NFL writer with us. T. Higgins, Bill, draft is wide receiver rich. This is a very interesting situation. To what level of interest is there going to be? What kind of value is there to be had in trading for T. Higgins and signing him right now?
Yeah, talking to people around the league, you know, I think not as much as I would have expected. You know, I kind of figured, okay, bottom of round one, there's a lot of teams who have first-round picks who are in the wide receiver market. Obviously, the Chiefs are the one everyone, you know, the one that everyone loves and comes to mind. I can't imagine the Bengals would trade their, you know, a star player at a position of need for the Chiefs to Kansas City. But, hey, it's fun on paper. I think it's going to be lower than that. And then from Cincinnati's perspective, I think you have to ask yourself questions about, is it really worth it? Because you figure if T. Higgins does hit free agency and the Bengals are able to play the compensation game appropriately, they should get a third-round pick for him. So you're not getting a first. If you're getting a second, maybe a high second, okay, I think you can consider making that trade. But if it's a mid or low second-round pick, wouldn't you rather just have T. Higgins when you feel like you can compete for a Super Bowl? And then maybe you see what happens. Maybe a deal gets worked out. Maybe you know, you work your cap appropriately. To me, I just think that unless you're getting a first-round pick, I'm holding on to T. Higgins from Cincinnati. And from what I've heard so far, at least it doesn't seem like any teams are really going to be pushing for that given how good the wide receiver class is in this year's draft.
Two-part Justin Fields question. Number one, do you see him back with Chicago come week one next season? And part two, if not, where do you see as a viable landing spot?
Feels like all those landing spots taken away at this point. I mean, I felt like Justin Fields had no chance of being back in Chicago before free agency. And now that's changed because there's just not all the places, the first, second, third, fourth options for Justin Fields, Tampa, Atlanta, Vegas, New England, all those spots are gone. And, you know, Denver has an opportunity, I would say. It doesn't really feel like that's a great fit with Sean Payton. I still believe they're the ones who are going to be end up with J.J. McCarthy one way or another. Tennessee no longer has a spot after they signed Mason Rudolph. I think the one spot I have left, and I know that it's not a clean spot, would be the New York Giants, where they have Daniel Jones, of course, coming off of a serious injury. They did sign Drew Lock, and you know, I think they signed Drew Lock to be the backup, but if you had the opportunity to go out and get Justin Fields for the Giants for, you know, a relatively low cost, which I can't imagine is going to be expensive at this point, given the lack of a market, I think you have to consider it. Now, if you're the Bears, I think you can keep Justin Fields. I think it's different from other situations just because you have you're going to have Caleb Williams, or you're going to have, where would you pick the first overall pick? Let's just say Caleb Williams for now. You're going to have Caleb Williams. He's going to play from week one. The fans want Caleb Williams to play. I know there's a subset of Bears fans who like Justin Fields. Not going to say that they shouldn't like him, but it's not like it's going to be a situation where fans are going to be clamoring for Caleb Williams to get benched. So maybe if you're the Bears and you don't get a great offer, you do hold on to him. You say, hey, trade deadline. Someone's going to need a quarterback. We trade him then.
Bill, I mean, you just used the word subset, and I haven't heard it since math class, and that's a problem because I just had a flashback and you know, maybe almost blacked out. But excellent insight nonetheless. Thank you.
Yeah, in the future, Bill, try to dumb it down.
Yes, please. Where you mentioned nuance earlier. Don't worry about ever having a non-nuanced take. Thanks, Bill. Bill Barnwell, ESPN NFL writer. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Hey, guess what? Finally got a definition for all in.
Oh, really?
Cowboys. Yeah. We got a definition. That in just moments. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Not much activity for Dallas, despite owner Jerry Jones' pledge to go all in.
They've been very quiet. It's not the Cowboys' way to act out early on and be aggressive in free agency.
The draft is about getting yourself in position to select the players you want. I'm sure they have their eye on somebody. They better.
This is like it was Ed Lover Dance Wednesdays back in the day. Yo, MTV Raps. Nothing? You got nothing there? Nothing?
I'm familiar with it, not to the point where I can quote it or anything like that. But yeah, I'm familiar with Yo, MTV Raps.
Ed Lover would do his dance on Wednesdays.
Did Ed Lover have like a Mountain Dew commercial at one point?
I think he did. I think he absolutely did.
That's an all-time pull right there.
Yeah, that's solid. God, I love that back in the day. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph, we have been wondering for weeks. We have not been able to get a definition, or at least the Dallas Cowboys definition of what all in means. Guess what?
What?
We've got it. And we've got it from Stephen Jones, Cowboys executive VP, and of course, son of Jerry Jones. And he was asked directly, what is the Cowboys' definition of all in?
You know, I know where the frustration is, the fact that we haven't had success in the playoffs to their satisfaction. Until we do that, then, you know, the criticism is certainly something that's going to be there. And we know that's going to be there, but we're going to stick with what we believe will ultimately get us a championship here for our fans. But, you know, we don't define all in as what you spend in free agency. It's keeping, you know, the core, keeping some of the great players in this league, like Dak Prescott, like CeeDee Lamb, like Micah Parsons, like Diggs. You know, that's what we define as all in.
Thoughts, comments, response.
I love this team. I love this team so much. I love this team so much because it's like we talked about yesterday. You've got 8 to 10 teams that are truly competing every year, and the rest of them are just fighting to be entertaining. The Cowboys are so entertaining because they've been talking about the definition of all-in for 2 weeks, and they don't actually know the definition of all-in. That's what is so hilarious. All-in is a poker term. You're sitting at a poker table. You have a stack of chips in front of you. It could be a lot. It could be a little. But you decide you want to risk everything on a particular hand. So you shove all of your chips into the middle of the pot, thus going all in, trying to make a play. You win or you lose. That's how it plays out. The Cowboys are trying to tell you, look, we're all in. We're just, you know, we're not going to move the chips into the center of the pot. We're not really playing the hand. We're kind of interested in calling the cocktail waitress over because we'd like to order some lunch. I see the massage girls coming around. I'd like to tip her $20 so she can rub my shoulders for a little bit. But rest assured, we're all in. They don't get it, but they are so damn entertaining in the process. Always remember this if you're listening right now. 8 to 10 teams are truly competing for the title. The rest are just entertainment. The Jets, entertainment. The Cowboys, entertainment. The Chargers, by and large to this point, entertainment. They are not serious contenders. Leave that for the Chiefs and the Ravens and the teams that are actually trying to win something.
Yeah. I still don't know what that means. Based on what he said, that basically what I took out of it is all in means, well, we sit tight.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
It's literally the opposite of all in is what they're doing. They are what's called in the poker world, they're grinding right now.
Yes.
They are action Harrington.
Check.
They are grinding their way through the tournament, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with being a grinder. Dan Harrington is one of the all-time best poker players. He was a grinder, but you can't use the phrase like all in when you're grinding because you're not actually moving any chips to the center of the pot. You're just sitting there looking to snipe off pieces here and there while turning a small profit by the end of the day.
Yeah, and what I really keep coming back to, and I'm having a lot of trouble with, if it truly is a situation where you're wanting to keep all of those guys long-term, and you're going to mention them by name, why wouldn't you have worked out extensions or reworking of contracts now so as to give yourself an opportunity to accentuate those guys and to capitalize on their primes? Why not give Micah Parsons the extension now? Why not give CeeDee Lamb the extension now when you can, and lower the cap numbers and give yourself an opportunity to get better in other places? Because all the Cowboys have done if we're being truthful, is get worse.
They're not really a proactive team. That's kind of the thing. They've never really been proactive. When was the last time Dallas made a move that made you think, all right, these guys kind of have an edge here. They figured something out. They're getting ahead of the curve. Like, they were late on Prescott with the original contract. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, Prescott had shown as a fourth rounder. He was a fourth rounder, right? I'm pretty sure he was. Fourth rounder. He had shown he could be your franchise guy.
Jerry, if you remember, Jerry was very hesitant on that.
Exactly.
And I think it's because he didn't want to pay him in the first place.
Because he's reactive, not proactive. So he's sitting there looking at this fourth round pick. He's not sure what he wants to do. He wants to take his time. He wants to slow roll it, as we use another poker term. So be it. So instead of going out there and building around your rookie quarterback, who's your franchise quarterback, and spending the money elsewhere so you can truly compete, he just kind of waited it out until they had to pay Prescott. Then they paid Prescott, and they didn't really have the money to go out and address anybody else. Now here you are again. Are you going to contend? Are you going to restructure Prescott? We're going to kind of play it out with Prescott. Like, what's going to happen this year?
Remember?
Think about what's going to happen this year. They're going to go out. They're probably going to win 12 games. They'll get beat in the playoffs. Prescott will be a free agent. He'll leave, and then what are we doing? We're just kind of resetting everything.
We're going all in.
Yeah, we're going all in. We're going all in on the draft.
Oh, my God.
And keep in mind, when Prescott wins 11 or 12 games and then you let him go, you're not going to have a high draft pick. You're going to be sitting down around 23 hoping some great quarterback falls to you. Again, the Dallas Cowboys, very entertaining. Great sound bites. Great brand. Great value. All that stuff is true. But they're not proactive when it comes to the business of football. You don't have to take them all that seriously because they're not going to be there at the end of the day. The teams there at the end of the day, they win in the margins. They win when no one's looking. Cowboys are too busy talking. It's an all-talk franchise. They're not all in. They're all talk.
Just back to the poker all-in stuff. Have you ever, you know, gotten a massage at the table?
No.
While you've been playing?
No, I'm uncomfortable with that. No.
No, I've always felt that's odd.
Yeah.
That's odd. Have you ever eaten lunch or dinner at the table?
I'm not. Ew. That is so gross.
I agree.
Well, then why are you asking?
Because I just wanted to know where you were on that.
I would never touch those chips and then eat as well. The guys who do that disgust me.
I feel like Carlin did it.
Did you do this? I didn't do it.
You know he did it.
No, I promise you.
If I had said yes, he's like, me too. Do you ever feel bad when people get on you about it?
I promise you, I never do it. Because, listen, once again, I'm insulted by the fact that you have not picked up that I have some couth. That I actually have a dash of class to me.
You had shrimp in your pocket at a wedding.
I did not have shrimp in my pocket.
It sounded like it when you told the story earlier.
I had mozzarella sticks in my pocket.
The classiest of the cheeses.
Marinara in the other pocket. Grab it, dip, boom. There you go.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.